You are listening to Teen Connectivity with parent coach Vashti Somerville. This is episode 62, Following Your Intuition and Holding Boundaries. Welcome, everyone. This week is all about trusting your intuition and lovingly holding boundaries that you know are in the best interest of your child. I want to first set the scene for an example. Let's time travel for a minute. Go back to your 16, 17, or 18-year-old self. Do you remember the feeling of wanting to connect with your social scene above all things? That feeling of where is the party, where is everyone hanging out, and what cool event might happen tonight? The need to make sure a non-school night was special and to be anywhere but home. I can so remember this feeling, and the anticipation was always that something great was about to happen, but the anticipation was usually always more fun than the actual event. Dances, for example, typically were never as fun as preparing for them, and they were usually a letdown. And weekends never quite lived up to the hype of the expectations, and neither did parties. But we always held out hope. I can remember this feeling in my mind and in my body. It's like it was yesterday. So back in real time here, on the last non-school night of Thanksgiving break, my younger daughter and her friends were looking for something memorable to do. They saw a movie together, but this wasn't enough. Word on the street was that parties were happening. They asked to go to a boy's house, although they did not label it as a party. And this happened to be a home I was not familiar with. So all of the girls' parents agreed that they could go as long as we had confirmation that a parent was home, a commitment from the girls to a substance-free night, and a curfew of 11:30. The girls agreed, but they ended up back at my house by about 10:30 for a sleepover. They said they didn't feel like they had enough time to go to the boys' house. They were restless, and in that place sort of a fear of missing out and longing to be with their peers and away from parents, away from home. They asked to go to another neighborhood that was quite a ways away, and I would piece together later that the party at the boys' house that they first requested to go to had moved out to this other location. So I immediately said no, it was too late. The weather wasn't great, they're all new drivers, and plus I didn't know details, anything about this house, anything about it. Then they asked, well, can we just drive up into the hills and look at the stars? So by now it's a little after 11 p.m., and I almost said yes to this request because I felt empathy. I could absolutely remember that adolescent longing to do something, anything, away from adults. But it was late, and I had told the other mothers that the girls were all tucked in for the night, but I could feel myself wavering even though I had already set a boundary that they were in for the night. This is a feeling that I have had many times. A request is made, my gut says no, the kids keep pleading, I start questioning why I said no, they start to wear me down, they see the cracks, and sometimes I have caved. They have everything to gain and nothing to lose by continuing to beg. I have given intermittent reinforcement that I will sometimes say yes, so of course they keep asking. And my head or my thinking starts to become fuzzy because I do remember being a teen and that longing feeling, and I'm trying to be relatable. But oftentimes my gut tells me that the request is a bad idea. So on this particular night, the last night of Thanksgiving break, that was a non-school night, partly because I had told the other moms they were in for the night, and partly because my intuition said that leaving the house again was not a good idea, I held the boundary. I invited them to get in their jammies and choose a movie to watch in my daughter's bed on a laptop, and I told them I would bring them up some yummy snacks. And they settled in quite nicely and fairly quickly, and they seemed to enjoy the coziness and, you know, the movie and the snack session. Well, as they were tucked in, I received some information from my other daughter that a kids' party in the neighborhood that they had requested to go to had been busted by the police. And I also think there was some drinking and driving that took place, and I was really glad at that moment that the three girls in my care were safely tucked in. I actually received this information about this party before they did, which is a miracle. They must have really been into the movie and not on Snapchat. And when I told them, they seemed relieved to have missed it. In the coming days, I opened up several conversations with my own kids about parties and drinking and driving. And they confirmed that it does happen and that sometimes kids in their circle take the approach, well, if enough time passes, I am okay to drive. We have been programming our girls for years about never getting behind the wheel under the influence of anything or being a passenger of someone under the influence of anything. They seem to get really angry when they hear of kids drinking and driving in light of all the other transportation options that exist. So I really do think my girls take this seriously. Now, whether or not they would call a friend out on it, a peer, I don't know. So all in all, this particular night turned out to be a parenting win. I was reminded that firm and loving boundaries are important and that kids appreciate them even when they don't appear to. I was reminded that my instincts are often right and that going against them isn't wise. I was reminded that it is important to stick to the boundaries we set, especially when we have been intentional and clear on our why. Because when we reverse course, we do intermittently reinforce the idea that our boundaries are negotiable. Now, I personally definitely say more yeses than nos to my kids. So I need them to know that my no means no. And generally when I say no, it's, you know, it's health and safety related. If you have been in the habit of reversing course on your boundaries, it isn't too late to do a reset. It won't be easy, but it will get easier fairly quickly. There might be eye rolling or a bigger fit thrown. The key is to greet their reaction with complete calm and disengage if they won't drop it and if their reaction keeps getting bigger. You can validate with a statement like, I understand how you feel. I remember wanting to be anywhere but home sometimes when I was your age, but my answer is still no on this one. If things keep escalating, calmly walk away. If your teen becomes extremely dysregulated and there's yelling and they follow you, a very natural consequence would go something like this. It's okay to be upset, but I am done talking about it. This is a hard no, and you do not need to understand my reasons for it. But if you continue to direct this much anger towards me, and if you continue to beg, you will also get a no on your next request to attend a social event. So you could keep it as simple as that. Now you don't need to say this next part because most likely they aren't in a headspace to listen. But what I'm telling you is if they're in this space, they are so dysregulated and they're showing you they need some practice being flexible and accepting that things don't always work out how they would like them to. So this consequence will allow for a do-over at the next request, right? They get a new opportunity to practice acceptance. From my experience, if you can follow a script like this a couple of times as situations emerge, as well as follow through with a simple consequence, if needed, just a couple of times, they will stop trying to negotiate so hard, especially when you are clear on your why and you don't just say no all the time because requests are inconvenient. This strategy could also work if there is, let's say, a request for an extension of curfew. Occasionally, I will extend a curfew if the request is reasonable, if I feel like health and safety isn't an issue, and if my child has been good about honoring curfew and communicating their whereabouts and location changes. If I say no to a curfew extension and begging and anger ensue, I will invite them to accept my answer or have their curfew moved an hour earlier for the next weekend. So you state your conditions and you disengage. Don't pile on consequences if they continue to argue, as it will be really hard to follow through with those. So offer them a choice: accept my answer or choose the consequence. If they continue, disengage in that moment and follow through with the consequence the next weekend. This approach ensures health, safety, and sanity, parental sanity. When you are consistent and reasonable, your teen knows what to expect. They also know deep down, and don't expect them to articulate this, but deep down they know they are loved, cared for, safe, and valued. All teens want to feel safe. Your calm reaction will help preserve connection as well. We risk damaging the relationship when we allow anger to get the best of us. Anger often arises when we take their reaction personally. It is really good to train yourself not to take any of it personally. So my call to action to you this week is to first get clear on the intention behind your yeses and your noes. Learn to trust your intuition. More often than not, your gut instincts are right. Listen to them. Practice using this muscle. It is your ally and your compass. And the more you use it, the stronger your intuition will become and the more clarity and peace you will have in your parenting decisions. Then once you have set a boundary, calmly stick to it. You know it's coming from a place of love and serves your child's health, safety, or growth in some way. Calmly and lovingly following through with natural consequences when you are being unreasonably pushed to change your mind. That is love. We are the bumpers in the bowling alley. They are counting on us to keep them safely on course as best we can. And this can be done without damaging the relationship, when we stay calm and keep our egos in check. We not only preserve the relationship, but we model something big when we choose not to get offended by whatever angry thing it is they're lobbing at us. Remember, it's not about you. It's about their own fear and anxiety of missing out on something big. And remember that feeling as a teen. Remember that also that something big rarely happens. Sometimes it's just big trouble. So once again, trust your gut instinct when you feel like that is the case. Their pushing back on you is them exercising their independence muscle. That is natural. But they are also learning the art of acceptance, compromise, and flexibility through this process. And it's all a process. So be grateful for it, right? There's so much learning that happens for both of us during this, you know, this challenge that they're presenting to us. And when we are intentional and offer them lots of choices for self-management in situations that we feel are safe, we are giving them lots of good practice so that when they are on their own and the stakes are higher, we have planted the seeds for good decision-making. So everybody, stay calm, trust your gut, and hold your boundaries. You've got this. If you or anyone you know needs parent coaching or help with therapeutic placements, please reach out at familyhealingpathways.com. I'll see you all next week. You have been listening to Teen Connectivity with Vashti Somerville, parent coach and owner of Family Healing Pathways. For more information on programs and services we offer, please visit www.familyhealingpathways.com.